And now, it's not three-quarter, it's not one-quarter percentage of the population that still remain the original people. And then that, do we want to save that? It's what the most, it's what the most First Nation leaders is trying to form opinion. Can it be saved? Or can we keep the culture, the originality? Whether we became all white-skinned or all oriented in mind as a European and still have this First Nation beliefs and traditions that has been established. And so that's the way it is. And now, that's where we are. But all those forces are coming from the European side. All those, what do they call them, assimilation efforts are still there, and they are getting very strong. And we don't have much resistance anymore. Our young people gradually embrace anything that comes their way. And some of them actually are ashamed of them being the First Nation the way it is today. So that is the reason why I wanted to do some recording, things that I have heard the elders, what is exactly the First Nation culture was, and how did it remain to be pure originality, and how did they keep it alive, if they wanted to keep it alive, and what should it be kept alive? That is the question. So the last, to go back to the history, let's go back to the next item which impacts to the de-Indianization, or shall we say, to assimilate Indians into the major society. Well, the next one is, after having the resident schools, the next one sort of hang there in between balance. By this time, the mothers and the grandparents who have experienced resident schools by the year of 65 or 70, I would say to be exact, these people like myself and the older people who have seen the resident school system begin to talk about it, because right across Canada after 1969, when the federal government presented the white paper, the Native people actually put themselves together and faced the situation, and because many understood what's happening. And so they protest very strongly. And after protesting strongly, many European intellectuals like lawyers and former judges and even some businessmen understood the situation and then stand beside the Native people to have much better deal than they had before. But they could only advise their own from their own expertise, not the cultural expertise. And then what happened after that 1969 was that many organizations across Canada emerges in different names. First in the Assembly of the People, then the Brotherhood. I think it was the Brotherhood first, and then the Association, and then the other names. And then it spread across Canada, in which brings the people to unite their voice and be able to speak to the government and then voice their opinion against what government is doing, and finally begin to organize well.